Lutz, how you doing, my man?
I'm good. How's your headset?
Oh, well, this is great. Yes, nothing more, nothing better than feedback in your ear.
Oh, it's awful, isn't it?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, I love it. Well, hey, let's. What isn't awful is the emergence of Connor McDavid in only his 19th game, getting 5 points.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's an emergence. I think we're getting glimpses of, you know, what Connor McDavid was capable before he got injured. And I mean, what I find is really, really impressive.
Doesn't make any sense.
Is that he's coming back after having not played for 3 months, and he looks better now than he did before he left. And, you know, for a young man that just turned 19.
It's obviously fine now.
I mean, it's almost unheard of. But I can tell you this, Connor McDavid is a unique okay. player. And when you have a unique player, I don't think you can put limits on them. I don't think you can be surprised at what they do, because the one thing that I found over the years about the uniquely talented, they are capable of doing things that the rest of us don't even imagine.
It's almost stunning at times when you think he's only 19 years of age, but he's already one of the best players in the National Hockey League, just with his skill and his speed and his edge work. And it's great for Oiler fans. Like, I'm sure if there's fans who grew up watching Gretzky, and I don't want to compare the two, but when you just compare greatness at that era, I think Oiler fans are going to be spoiled being able to watch a kid. Like, I don't expect him to score 5 points 79 times over 9 seasons, Craig. That was the most mind-blowing stat we uncovered after McDavid's 5-point game last night, is in 9 years, once every 9 games, Gretzky had 5 points.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive when you really think about it, isn't it? I mean, but Wayne is the benchmark for the level of greatness that somebody's able to achieve. And I think Connor McDavid has a similar trait, if not the exact trait, that Wayne Gretzky had. And that is it, and it's twofold. Number one, they are so highly competitive. Like, when Connor McDavid had 3 points, he wanted 4. When he had 4, he wanted 5. And, you know, he's got this insatiable quest to be great and to produce offense. And the second thing that, and Wayne always talked about it, was he said, I never knew who was coming to watch me for the first time, and I never wanted to disappoint them. And I think that Connor McDavid has those two traits that are exactly the same as Wayne Gretzky.
Pretty special when you think about it that way as a player, that he felt that his job was to be an entertainer. And if you were a first-time person or watching the game for the first time, or maybe watching the Oilers or L.A. or the Rangers for the first time, you were like, hey, who's that 99 guy? He's pretty good. The Oilers weren't very good last night, let's be honest, playing up against American League team. But that first line in Cam Talbot dominated, and we all know that the team still has many holes that they need to fix before. And we've had some texts wondering, as you see Connor McDavid, Craig, and we're like, wow, this is a very special player, do you think it puts more pressure on Chiarelli to ensure he surrounds it? Because the last thing you want to do is waste a generational talent without putting enough good support pieces in place that you can build a championship team.
Well, and I think that that's the importance of considering all the options. Options that I'm certain that Peter and his group have talked about and discussed. And there's going to be considerations that are going to come along that they haven't even contemplated. So I think that based on what you just talked about with Connor McDavid and where the Oilers have been the last 10 years, I think it's imperative that they think about all the different options that they're going to be presented to them. You know, one of the interesting things, and obviously Jordan Eberle is a terrific player, and he is a terrific player. He struggled early on in the year. And you know, there was a lot of talk, oh, they might trade Eberle. But you hear managers, and they're smart. They're not going to trade a guy when he's not playing well. Well, now Jordan Eberle's playing well. Now people are saying, well, you can't trade him. I think those are mutually exclusive. I understand the first part. You know, when a player's value isn't down, you don't want to get into trade talks. But because of the state of the Edmonton Oilers and where they've been, you don't know what's possible in considering different players for trade. And I think that the Oilers have to do that. But I can tell you this. When you have players performing at a high level, you know what? Those options start to multiply.
Craig Button from TSN joins us. Craig, a few things around the league as we get to the final 2 weeks before the trade deadline coming up on Monday. February 29th. The Edmonton Oilers are out of it. The Leafs are out of it. The Flames, I think, are out of it. The Jets are out of it. So that's four Canadian teams that are out of it. We've already seen one major deal between Toronto and Ottawa. When you look at the Edmonton Oilers, Justin Schultz, I think, almost a foregone conclusion. They're going to try to move him before the deadline. Teddy Purcell. How much interest do you think Teddy Purcell has from outside teams at the deadline, assuming the Oilers have to eat some of his money?
Yeah, I'm not so sure they have to eat the money. He's got an expiring contract, right? So, you know, for the right deal, I think that the Edmonton Oilers would absorb some money. You look at it, like let's say the difference between absorbing money is instead of a third-round pick and you take absorbing money, it becomes a second-round pick. You know, and a team that might be tight to the cap, you know, they might have to find that type of relief. So, you know, I think it all depends on what the return is and in terms of what your appetite is for retaining some salary. But, I mean, expiring contracts are very, very valuable. And Teddy Purcell, he's not a frontline player, but he's got skill. He can help you out in certain areas on your team. And I would imagine that he will be a very attractive player, you know, leading up to the trade deadline and, you know, right up until the expiration of that.
Eric Greiba, if you're Peter Chiarelli, do you try to re-sign him before the deadline? And if you don't, do you trade him for a draft pick or risk losing out on a second and third rounder and take a few more extra months to try to re-sign him? What would you do?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I, you know, one of the things that Peter was looking at when he came into the Edmonton Oilers, he wanted the team to be heavier. He wanted the team to be a little bit harder to play against. And, you know, I think that Eric, all in all, has provided that type of play. But let's not kid ourselves here. Eric Greiba is a bottom-pairing defenseman who has limitations. So, to me, again, you know, it's not like there's not going to be different players available or even maybe Eric Greiba come the summertime in free agency. I think if the offer is there, if there's a dollar figure that made sense for Eric Greiba and, you know, you said, okay, listen, we've looked at the market. We don't think that we're going to get a player that we know that fits in at that price, that's a better price than him, then I think you look at him. But I think if the right offer comes along and you're looking at him, I mean, load it up with draft picks.
And I understand that to a sense, and I get that Eric Greiba has limitations, Craig, but he's very good on the penalty kill, right? He's physical. He can fill a role as a third pairing guy. And while you can fill up on draft picks, there's no guarantee you can go out and find a better replacement. And my concern when I see a lot of bottom feeder teams, they stay near the bottom because they're trading legitimate NHLers. And we know that Eric Greiba is a legit third pairing defenseman. We know he's not higher. And if he plays higher, that's when their problems arise. But if you trade him and get a second or third, that pick's not helping you for 5 years, and you really haven't improved your team at all.
Yeah, but to me, it's about the dollars. It's about what can you sign him for. I mean, if Eric Greiba wants a 3-year deal at $3 million, I mean, look what happened with Mason Raymond, okay? And I'm going to give Mason Raymond as a good example of it. He was on a 1-year deal in Toronto at $1 million. Had a pretty good year. And then the Flames pay him over $9 million for 3 years. Don't be fooled.
Yeah.
The dollars become a problem, and that's all I'm saying. For the right contract, but if Eric Greiba wants to test it and wants to test it, then I'm going to get something for him if there's something available. I'm not going to just run him out the door for a 6th-round draft pick or a 5th-round draft pick, but, you know, teams, I mean, Dustin Byfuglien didn't hit the market. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with Dan Hamhuis. Teams are always looking for defensemen. You know, and Roman Polak, Eric Greiba, I mean, they're players that might attract you. And Jason, you are exactly right about kind of that wheel that just keeps spinning. You never, ever catch up to where you want to be. But at the same time, where the Oilers are in terms of their salary cap and where they're going to be, you know, you got to manage those things. And, Nikita Nikitin was willing to take 2 years at 4.5. How'd that turn out?
Well, you're right. It's got to be the right contract. I'm not saying just...
That's all I'm saying. Yeah, Back up you're right, too. So you're correct in what you're saying.
Yeah, I hope the Oilers don't back up the Brinks truck, because now it is a completely new management here, but the last few years, one of the biggest concerns or failures of the organization was their ability to evaluate defensemen properly. That has hurt the team for quite some time. Now, speaking of evaluating defensemen, Dustin Byfuglien re-signs. You've got Tyler Myers. You've also got Jacob Trouba. Those are all three right-shot defensemen. The Winnipeg Jets need some offense. It's a risk. But do you think with Jacob Truman, I'm hearing some outlandish requests. I have no idea if it's true or not as far as what he's looking for in a contract. And I don't think there's no chance he's getting upwards of six, probably not even getting five at the rate he's going right now. But if you were the Jets, because you have Myers and Bufflin, clear two top four defensemen who shoot right, would you contemplate moving Truba?
Absolutely, I would. And I'll tell you right who I'd be phoning on. I'd be phoning on Mr. Jonathan Drouin. That's who I'd be phoning on. You know, a very dynamic forward. I know the issues that have arisen, you know, with Jonathan acting out the way he has, but he's still, in my view, a very, very top-notch young talent. So, I mean, again, sometimes you got to move a player out to get a different type of player. Truba's contract's expiring, you know, on the entry-level side. And, you know, Jonathan Drouin, you know, he's still got a year left on entry-level. You know, you can salary cap management is a big key to management in today's NHL. And knowing what you're going to have to put money into, what you just did with Bufflin, and, you know, what your overall situation is with respect to budget, you know, those are things that, require a mandatory understanding of. So it's not like you're going, well, we don't like Jacob Truba, but you may have to look at different ways to improve your team. I mean, hey, listen, when Brandon Saad, who won two Stanley Cups, can go out the door, trust me, Jacob Truba can go out the door.
Greg Button from TSN joins us. The Montreal Canadiens seem to have stopped the bleeding, although they're still not back in the playoff position yet, but they're getting closer to that. The Carey Price situation, obviously there'll be some urgency, or not urgency, but maybe the risk of rushing him. I don't think they're going to do that. But you start to see some teams, Craig, in the next 2 weeks that I think that we can safely assume are out of the playoff race. I mentioned Toronto, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Columbus, I think, Buffalo, Calgary, I would put in that category as well. The Vancouver Canucks, Jim Benning came out the other day and said, hey, we might add. Now, he just lost two guys to injuries for 6 weeks in Edler and Sutter. So maybe he's just saying it for the sake of it. But if you're Vancouver, would you add at this point?
Well, what's really interesting, I mean, and Jim has talked, you know, about transitioning from an older team to a younger team. And, you know, they're right on the edge of it. They're right on the cusp of it. And you know what? Like, you know, they unfortunately for them, you know, Edler and Sutter go out just when Ham Hughes is coming back. But they've been able to keep their head above water. And, you know, the pressures that start to bear, and this isn't negative pressures, but, you know, from an ownership point of view, you go, okay, listen, we've done this nice little maneuver transitioning from older to younger. We've seen a glimpse of what our future is going to look like. But is there any way we can, you know, maybe give it a push here? You know, because I'll tell you what, a few playoff dates, you know, could be significant to ownership, especially considering where the Canadian dollar is at and, you know, that you're paying your biggest expense in U.S. dollars. So, like, there's no way Jim Benning's going to blow his brains out, start trading first-round picks and young prospects. But, you know, the Vancouver Canucks, because they're right there and because they're close enough where they can look at it, I think it's a legitimate approach, and it might be on multiple levels.
Huge addition for the St. Louis Blues, a team that has really been racked up by injuries as well to key guys. Jaden Schwartz gets back in the lineup. Pietrangelo is out. I know it's completely different positions, but what do you make of the Blues this season, Craig? Do they still need to add something? Is there something missing in St. Louis if they're going to go on a run?
Yeah, you know, it's such an interesting question. And, you know, the St. Louis Blues, I think they've assumed the mantle from the San Jose Sharks as this promising team that everybody looks at as capable of winning a Stanley Cup and, you know, that they're Stanley Cup contenders. I don't think they are. I don't think they are. I think they're clearly behind Chicago and clearly behind the LA Kings. So, you know, that's one team in their division, and now that's the other team in their conference. So, you know, at some point in time, you're going to have to find a way to get past Chicago. And then if you do that, you got to go past L.A., barring an upset. I don't think they can do it. I don't think their goaltending is good enough. I still think Jake Allen is not that there's questions around him. I just don't know if he's the guy right now that's ready to just take it upon himself to do it. And not that he has to do it himself, They got young defensemen in Edmondson and Parayko. And up front, you know, James Schwartz is a good player. Tarasenko is a good player. But, you know, I just, like, to me, you got Robbie Fabry in there. You got a couple of younger players in there. Just doesn't seem to me that they're going to be able to put a dent and win twice, four games out of seven. I'm not so sure they can do it once against the likes of Chicago or L.A.
What about the Dallas Stars, a team that was on fire early on in the season, still playing quite well, battling with the Chicago Blackhawks for first in the Western Conference and first in the tight Central, and then avoiding St. Louis in the first round. You look at their team, Craig. Do they need a bigger defenseman come playoff time?
You nailed it. I think they need a real defenseman. Like, you know, and that's not, I mean, John Klingberg's really good. And I have to imagine that they were in discussions on Dion Phaneuf, a heavy defenseman. He doesn't have to be the lead dog anymore. You know, they have enough support around them. But again, I'm going to go right back. If you're going to beat the likes of Chicago and you want to beat LA, and we're not talking about beating them once. We're talking about having to beat them four times. Teams that are built to withstand the best challenges. So to me, and the other thing about the Dallas Stars, they have yet to show me that in a tight game, like in a tight game when they have to play that tight game, be patient, that they're capable of doing so. You know, and that, you know, it's not about not being able to score. It's about understanding. Listen, at this point in time, The chances aren't there. So we got to keep playing and be ready to pounce when those chances come. I haven't seen that from them to this point in time. And you might see it for a glimpse, but once a good team gets up against them and can really stymie them, are they going to have the necessary patience to continue to play without, you know, breaking out of that level of urgency to try to get offense when they're not getting it? And that's to me, that's a really important element to having success in the playoffs.
Craig, what are you watching this weekend?
I'm not watching anything.
Taking the weekend off, no hockey.
I am. I'm taking the weekend off. I'm just going to, it's Family Day weekend, so
attaboy.
You know, sit back and enjoy and take it as it comes. Yeah. I mean, I had a good run last week. Saw London and Sarnia and Erie and North Bay and watched you know, some really good games. And, you know, sometimes after you need a little bit of a break, and you know, you've seen the players, I'm comfortable with the players, and then I'll get into the final haul here beginning next weekend.
One quick one about the draft. Has there been anybody in your eyes in the last few months that has really impressed you, that has moved up significantly, whether it's a second round or a third round or a guy from the first who's now in the middle? Is there somebody who you feel is really coming on?
There's two players that have really, really, well, I mean, Jake Bean in Calgary is, like, to me, I mean, he might be in the discussion now amongst the best defensemen in this draft. I mean, he's dynamic. I mean, he just gets better and better and better every time I see him. And, you know, I mean, it's no accident what he's doing in the Western Hockey League. But two players, And I just saw them, but Jordan Kyrou playing with Sarnia, just fantastic. I mean, again, you talk about physical development. Physical development also creates a confidence that you can do more and you can handle the rigors a little bit better. And I see that with Jordan. And then there's a defenseman from New Jersey who's playing up in North Bay, Cam Dineen. He's a rookie defenseman. He's one of the leading defenseman scorers in the Ontario Hockey League. This young man is a really, really good player.
Craig, I appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
You too. Thanks, Jason.